from our heavenly host. Who is our heavenly host? We have a heavenly host. Amen. I know whenever you have a party or you have something at your house, you have a host, right? Who's the host? The homeowner, right? Come on, usually are you have somebody that'll host a party for you, and they're pretty popular. Well, today's invitation is from our heavenly host, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to welcome everybody here today, and I'm going to kind of talk about the invitation this morning. Has anybody here invited here this morning? Was anybody invited here this morning? AJ, you were invited here this morning. I know you guys were invited. You're here today. Anybody else invited here today? I think we're all invited here at one point. Amen. All right. Well, this week being the week of Christmas, Christmas is in the air. Pastors, Christmas worship, we're singing. How do you like my songs? Amen. So we know it's Christmas time at church because I play my same Christmas songs. These are mine. I love them and I love to sing them. Amen. But for the most part, we still have some last minute shopping to do. Amen. Anybody else got any last minute shopping to do? Well, my wife does. But that's, you know what? But what is Christmas all about? Come on, let's ask ourselves this morning. What is Christmas really about? Thursday night, Stephen told the Christmas story in Luke, how an angel appeared to Mary and this special child that will deliver us all, and also the angel appearing to Joseph, this child being special. Come on, us being like Joseph, we also would have to question Mary about being a virgin and now pregnant, wouldn't we? He brought up a good point. You know, us being human, we're all human, we all question. We all have a little jealousy in some part of some bone somewhere. And, you know, Joseph might have got a little weary, a little weird about it. He may have, you know. He kind of questioned. If he didn't question, why did the angel of the Lord have to come and speak to him? You know, we want to trust in God. Does everybody trust in God? Does everybody trust in him with everything you got this morning? Do you ever question God? That's my question to this morning. We all do because we live by faith. Has anybody showed up, Jesus ever showed up at your house and sat at your table and had coffee with you? If he has, I want to talk to you because he never has done that at my house. He's been there while I have coffee because I feel the spirit of the Lord sometimes, but not in the present, not in his physical body, but I've always felt the Lord around me. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So anyway, but Joseph being a man, he probably questioned about it. Come on, us being like Joseph, we also would have questioned Mary about being a virgin and now pregnant. Can you see Joseph and Mary on the Steve Wilkes show? And now pregnant, come on. Steve! Or how about Maury? Joseph, you're not the father. But isn't that how we are today? Isn't that how we live our lives, like these television shows? Like they're the gospel of how life is? Everybody questions, you know. That's not your kids. Are they sure you're your kids? Are you sure? I know when the kids are bad, they're not my kids, they're your kids. Isn't that true in our homes? Come on, parents are like, no, they're always our kids. My kids are so good. Today we question everything. Denise asked me if I believed in aliens, and I answered, we're all aliens if we serve God, because we will all be beamed up, Scotty, someday when the Lord returns. Come on. Beam me up, Lord. Just beam me out of here. And you know what? Say if we had to tarry, you know what? The Lord says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So even if we don't make it until the day that the Lord beams us up as a group, we will be in the presence of the Lord. I am an alien. You are an alien. We all look like aliens, too, believe me. I don't know if you ever see me when I wake up. I got an antenna hair like that. My wife looks at me some days in the morning. She looks at me like. Hallelujah. Well, Stephen spoke on Thursday night about Simeon and Anna in the Bible study. This week, especially in most churches today, they're going to hear the story of Jesus and the birth of Jesus. And the Christmas story begins in the book of Luke in the second chapter. And Stephen on Thursday night came out and preached, and I've been preparing for my message all week. And he gets up here on Thursday, and he goes right to my scripture. Isn't that how it is? And he starts preaching your message and everything else. And I was waiting, and he went right around my part of scripture. That's how good God is. Because my message is for today. His message was for every day, and so is mine. But that's what he was preaching. But he began with the Christmas story, and it's in the book of Luke, the second chapter. Amen. So he spoke about Simeon and Anna, two people. Two people in the book of Luke spoken about in the Christmas story. But we won't see them in any manger scenes, on Christmas cards, or in church lawns, because they were not there. When we think of the manger scene, what do we see? He said, we saw wise men, we see camels, we see some animals, we see the baby Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. That's what we see. And so in this manger scene, but in that very first book, in the first part, the Lord talks about a few other people that we don't see in the regular Christmas story we see every year. Can I get an amen? I want you to know this, that you yourselves are part of the Christmas story. We need to put ourselves in and project ourselves in the invitation today. Have you been invited to church? This is the word for today. You have been invited. But they were invited, as the Holy Spirit bore witness in their spirit that God was doing something special. This was the child that would redeem his people and all of us. Can we, as ordinary men and women, be so important that we would be invited to the birth of the most important person ever born? Put yourself there. Can we put ourselves in the manger this morning? Close your eyes for a moment. I'm going to ask you to do this a couple of times. I want you to imagine yourself back in that manger today as a special guest of the Lord. Now open your eyes so you can look at me. Go with me to the book of Luke in the second chapter, and this is really the Christmas story, Luke 2, amen? The other Gospels talk about the birth of Jesus and the lineage. It talks about many things, but Luke is really the Christmas story. It talks about the birth of a boy, a young man, amen? Luke 2 and 1 says this, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went and be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in waddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And he will be for you a sign to you, and you will find him a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" If you are here this morning, you have been invited. Listen, most importantly, that you came. Amen. That you came this morning. Amen. Every one of you have been invited to this service this morning. You have been invited by the Holy Spirit. Probably woke up and said, "I think I'll go to church." Or, "I believe I'll go to church." No, you probably planned it. Did anybody just wake up this morning and just said, "Oh, I think I'll go to church at 9 a.m. on Sunday"? No. You had to plan it here to get up early, to get out of your bed, to wipe the stuff out of your eyes, to get dressed, to come. You know, my wife starts Sunday mornings about 3 in the morning, huh? I think it is. About 3 o'clock to get ready to come to church. Not me. Pastor Nishi said, "You better get in the shower. Come on, we're going to be late." And I'm dragging, amen? But no, you probably planned on being here. Amen. But it could have happened, but not probably. Someone or somebody had happened, that something happened, and now we know in our spirit that this is where we're supposed to be on Sunday morning. Now that you're here, you know you're supposed to be here, don't you? Once we get to this place, we're like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And there's a comfort. There's a peace in your spirit. It's when you don't go to church and you're thinking of every excuse to tell Pastor Dennis why you're not going, if there's no peace. Pastor. No, I don't think anybody. I love telephones. Now they just text me with a cough. Amen. But it could happen. You know, for some of us, this has been an ongoing thing for years. And for some, they're just finding their way. But for all of us, it's because the Holy Spirit has invited you here. Every one of you have been invited, not by somebody, but I'm telling you, if you're here today, you have been invited by the Holy Spirit. We need to understand something, that the Spirit of God works within us. He works within us and for us. He guides us. You know that we never go to church without thinking about going to church before someone asks us. You know, it's kind of funny because I meet people all the time and I talk to them about serving God and going to church and being a pastor. When they find out I'm a pastor, they go from the worst heathen to the best Christian, you know. The language changes like right on over. And that's okay. That's respect for God. And I understand that and stuff. I told you about the golf story. The guys were drunker and all get out cursing. These jokes were funny, I mean, but they were really raunchy and everything. And by the ninth hole, they found out I was a pastor. Then I found out there were elders and deacons in the church, and they sobered up. Like from the first nine holes, they were drinking, pounding, and from the ninth hole to the 18th hole, they became whole. Come on. You know what? But for most of us, it's because the Holy Spirit has invited you here. For many are called, but few are chosen. Let's pray this morning. Father, I just pray. I praise you and I praise you and I praise you. I thank you. Glory in the highest today, Lord. I know the angels sing a heavenly voice and song continually in heaven. But Lord, I know our voices were heard by your ear this morning because, Lord, you look down on your people and you love that, Lord, we're serving you before we have to in heaven. And there will be no chore in heaven. It's no chore really to serve you now. Sometimes it's hard to serve God because many things of the world contend with the things of God. But Lord, this morning we're in the exact right place where we're supposed to be because you invited us here. And Lord, we've answered the call. We were chosen by God to be here this morning. Chosen to hear your word and to be in this place. Lord, let us honor you with our thoughts and our mind today, with our love. Let you be admired in our heart, Father. We love you with all our hearts. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. But why were these few shepherds, these common men of labor, be summoned to witness the presence of the Lord? Stephen on Thursday talked about Simeon and Anna and their purpose. Simeon saying that he will not go home until he saw the presence of the Lord. And he got to see the baby child and he had peace because he was promised by God that he would not be dead before he saw the Lord and he saw Jesus. Anna, another, served her point. But you don't see them in the manger, and you don't see the shepherds in the manger either in the Christmas story. We don't hear much about the shepherds. But today we're going to study a little bit about shepherds. Can I get an amen? But why were the shepherds summoned by angels? Why was it so important today that we see that these ordinary men, people that just have an ordinary job, probably a job that nobody else wants, probably a career which is mostly alone. They're by themselves. They're usually like David. If you remember his brothers, when he was going to fight Goliath, he said, "Where are you? What are you doing here? Where are those few sheep?" You remember the reply to me, it's not a very important job. It's probably one of the lowest forms of jobs then. It was a job that you were out there. If you think about, you know, because they're by themselves, it must be very lonely. It's a very lonely job. Anybody lonely today? I think we all can be, amen? Why would these few nomads, some would consider nobody, be summoned by an angel? It's no different today. I don't know about you, but I'm not anything special. But to Denise, to her, I'm the greatest. And she only tells me that. She don't ever, you know, tell anybody else. But she tells me that. Oh, I love you so much. I'll see you later. Why does she always tell me she loves me when she's leaving? Anyway, that's another message. Listen, God's not looking for the perfect, wealthy, handsome, pretty, or even wise. He's calling for the humble and the brokenhearted. God is looking for a people that will just quit focusing on themselves and begin to focus on their future. Begin to focus on a God that will not only did he, you know, I love God because he said, I did not come to rule, but I came to serve. And we serve a God that really serves us. But you know, far too often when we begin to serve God, we want more service from God than we're willing to serve. Can I get an amen? Sure, Jesus gave his life for all, died for all, but just as he died, we too must die to ourselves, giving of ourselves. Question, why are you here? And do you really believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? And have you really died to yourself, or are we just taking precautions? What if? You know, I know some Christians, they only serve God because what if there is a God, and what if there is a devil? What if there is a hell? Some people only serve God, and there's religions that only serve God to keep you out of hell. But we serve a God which is much greater than that. Can you imagine being summoned by an angel, just a nobody in the middle of the field? Well, I got news for you. You've all been summoned here today. If someone asks you, they're really nobody, but God has considered you worthy to be here. Not to hear my voice, but to be in the presence of the Lord. What if there is no life after death? Are we serving him because he does so much for us? But do we really lay down our lives if the Lord asked us to? Wait, you might be saying, what is he talking about? You might be thinking, I'm a Christian, but I can't live my life. Isn't this the argument? Isn't this the same argument we have with the devil all the time? Well, I want to serve God, but I still want to party. Anybody? I would do it, but I'm still, I'm just not worthy to do it. That's what you're saying. What you're saying, I still want to have a little bit of world in me that I'm not worthy to give all I got. Come on. But when we give ourselves to God, when we receive the Lord, we lay down our lives. The old life is given away. That's why we're born again. You cannot be born again and live of the old life. Because it would be like, you know, Pastor Pete talked about the backpack again. Well, I got saved, but I want to take some of that old with me. It doesn't get through the gates of heaven. If you can't take it now, you can't take it then. We must lay down our life. But I can't live my life. No, you laid your life down when you gave yourself to the Lord. Now, what does that mean, that we're going to have a bad life? Watch this. John 10:10, and we know the scripture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and that life more abundantly. See, the lie of the devil is saying, you know, you can't have no more good times when you serve God. That's a lie. Because God right here says, you not only have life, but you have life more abundant. My life is so much better now that I serve God than it ever was when I was in the world. You know, I went out and partied last night. I partied last night. Ooh, I'm still hurting. I'm hurting. And I woke up with no hangover, no regrets, except for eating too much. Partied last night. But I woke up with a fresh mind, still a love for God. Come on, I have abundant life. My marriage is good. My home is good. My family is good. Things are going in my life. My life is abundantly good. So, I can't live my life. Well, you don't understand God yet if you feel that way. So Jesus says, by serving him, we won't only have life, but abundant life that Christ gives us. Everything we get from the Lord, God created, and God did create everything, amen? God's promises are so much, but are we willing to give it all away? You know, God has blessed me. He has truly blessed me. But am I willing to give it away? See, this is the question today. For many of us have been blessed in this room, but are we willing to give it all up? And to serve God, we have to be willing to give it all away. See, God's not really wanting to take what you are, but he is willing to say, are you willing to give it away? He wants to say, what is more important, laying down your life or what you get from me? See, some of us serve God like an ATM machine. You know, I pay my tithes so that I can be blessed. That's not the case. I pay my tithes to be obedient to God, and he's always blessing me. He's never failed. But I don't pay my tithes to get more from God, even though he does say some 60, some 30, some 100-fold. He has blessed me time and time again. Every time I've given to God, he's given it back plus. Every time. But I don't do it for that. So serving God isn't just about what we can get here out of life. It's more than about the afterlife. And now it's about laying down our lives and giving of ourselves. But we will be taken care of. It says it in the Word. Isaiah 55:1 says this. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. They say opportunity only knocks once. You ever hear that? In life, that's what the world says. It comes and it goes. It only knocks once. But that's not how God is, amen? Have you ever missed an opportunity to buy something or get something, and then right after you were so disappointed for not making the right decision? Anybody? I've had chances to buy some property and other things or even vehicles, and I think, and then all of a sudden I look back, I go, man, I missed it. Anybody? Or you bought something, and then you have buyer's remorse? Anybody else? You like Amazon? It just looks so good in the picture. And when they got there, it was like, what is, I mean, you know, how does the kitchen sink come in there? Well, the kitchen sink's for a Barbie. Come on. We've all done it. We've made mistakes. Come on, we bought that jacket. We thought we looked good. I still look like a porker in it. Come on. Just being honest. Have you ever said, I'm not going to do that again? We've all said that. Well, we do it all. We all do it all the time without intending to. We do things, amen? But today we're examining how important it is to answer God when he calls, and the importance to come when we are invited. For many are called, but few are chosen. When God asks you to do something, it's important. But more than that, it's more important to you that you answer his call. Whenever God invites you to do something, just do it. He's got it all planned out. He knows exactly who you are. Oh, Pastor, I'm not you. I can't talk to that person. I'm telling you, as soon as you open your mouth, he said, living waters will pour out. Amen. Oh, Father, I only got $5. I can't do that. Don't worry, because he's about to give you a lot more than that in that $5 you're about to spend. Are you hearing me this morning? Oh, Father, I can't pick that stuff up. I'm kind of hurting. Well, you're just about to receive your healing for stepping out of your way. Oh, I can't carry that box. Yes, you can. You know you can. And so often we make decisions on what we can do and not what God can do. So we're examining how it's important to answer God when he calls. Luke 2:8 said this. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Wouldn't you be too? I mean, out there, and all of a sudden the alien lights showed up. That's what it would look like, right? My wife believes in aliens. She watches those shows. She's sure of it. She even checks me sometimes. They said, you'll know an alien. She's over there picking me and prodding me. What are you doing? Just making sure. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, but for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ the Lord. And it will be for you a sign to you, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Come on, this is important. Which the Lord has been made known to us. And then they came in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now they had, when they had seen him, they had made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by them and the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told to them. When we leave church, we should be telling people about what we heard and seen in this place. We should be leaving here and saying, you know what? I know that every one of you, because every time I listen to a message, I receive something new. Somebody says something. Pete said something today, and I just caught it. I said, I never saw that. Stephen said something on Thursday. Man, I never saw that. As the preachers and the teachers teach here, Ricardo, all of them, as they teach, I receive something. I say, man, I never got that. Amen? And that's what it is. And so when I come on Thursday, I come Thursdays for myself to be fed. It's Bible study night. Amen? And they preach out of the Word of God. And this is the same thing. They witnessed the Lord and they left verifying what they had heard and what was spoken. For God and all these things had heard and seen and that was told to them. These men were invited to one of the most important times in history. No man did not do the inviting. The Holy Spirit did. Amen. Luke 2 and 9 and 10 said, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them in 9, and behold, the Lord showed around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. You need to understand something. You're not just here for church for yourself. You're here to hear a word for somebody else. You are receiving good tidings this morning, not just from me, but from the Spirit of the Lord. I told Stephen something on Thursday night. He said, oh, I missed an area. And I said, you know what? Some things you said, you probably said something, but I heard something else. As I speak, the Spirit of God will speak to you. People come to me and said, Pastor, when you said this on Sunday, and I look at my notes, and I said, I never said that, but they heard the Lord say something. The Spirit of God speaks to him, to you himself. Amen? Close your eyes, everyone. I want you to close your eyes, please, everyone. Close your eyes. Okay, don't mind me picking through your wallets and purses right now. Just close your eyes. As I rustle through your purse, I'm just checking to see. No, I'm just kidding. Just close your eyes. For some, this will be hard. Now ask yourself, who was it that invited you to your first encounter with God? Who was it? Look back. For some, it'll be easy. For others, it'll be kind of tough. Your first encounter with God. Look back. Amen? For some, it was a relative, sister, or brother. Maybe an encounter at work, or really the Spirit of God knocking at your door. This is important. Revelation 3 and 20 says this, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, let's open the door. I will come to him. I will come in to him and dine with him and him with me. Maybe opportunity knocks once or twice or three times and on, but continues to tug at your heart because God loves you so much. You can open your eyes now if you haven't opened them yet. I thank God that he didn't give up on me all the times I can look back, and he was truly looking out for me. My whole life, my mom serving God as a Christian, she got saved, you know, when we were teenagers, and serving God, and she would tell me to come to church. I tell the story. Church was awesome when we were younger, when I was still in the world, because church meant a roast, or she was going to take me to lunch. Man, there's nothing like mom's roast, you know what I mean? And so I'd go to church, and then when the altar call come up, it felt like every eye was on me as I sit there in my chair. And my mom going, and I think of how many times the opportunity came where I could give my Lord, but the Lord never gave up on me. He never stopped loving me. He kept going. And how God looked out for me my whole life as I look back, not even serving for a Christian, how he kept me protected because he knew me. He knew that one day I would serve him with my whole heart. I thank God that he didn't give up on me. All the times I look back, he was truly looking out for me. Again, ask yourself, what was the best Christmas you can remember? Can you think about it? Can you think about the best Christmas you ever had? Mine is today to see you here. I can say this one, seeing all of you in the presence of God. For some in this room, this is almost all of us. We really needed God to move in our lives. For some of us, we've been here because someone invited us, and maybe we didn't want to go, but we told them for so long, I'm just going to go to shut them up. For some, we said the prayer like that. We've prayed before, and we said, I'm just going to pray just to shut them up. Anybody? We've done it in our lives. But today, we need to understand something, that prayer just isn't a guarantee. It's just not. You must lay down your lives for him. And the only way we can lay down our life is to give up our life, is to lose our life. We have to lose our life to gain life. He said, unless you lose your life, you cannot have new life. God will use every circumstance, as good or evil, to open that door. Don't get me wrong. God doesn't do evil things to get our attention, but he's there when we need him. He's right there when we fall into trials and storms. He says, count it all joy. He's right there. Somebody was talking about this. Pete was talking about the boat and how the Lord was asleep. And even the disciples experienced. Fishermen said, Lord, we perish. And he just woke up and said, here I am. Sometimes God's just asking you to join him in your trials and your struggle. Some of us, we will never ask God for anything. We'll just try to do it ourselves. He's not asking you to. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. There's the invitation. Yes, bad things are going to happen. Remember, the first part of John 10:10 was, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. We have a devil. We have a demonic being. We have a devil, an enemy out there, which is trying to destroy your life. You know, I used to say, I want to live hard and die young and have a good-looking corpse. Well, that would have been a lie because I was never good-looking. So anyway, but the whole thing is, see, the devil wants you to get you think like if you could be the worst of the devil, you're going to have a good time in hell. Well, you're already mistaken. There is no good time in hell at all. But you know what? Life isn't about this life. Where we live right now isn't about this life. Life now is about the afterlife and where we're going from here. Yes, things are going to happen and you will never be in the fight alone. If the Lord be for me, who could be against me? This is the greatest invitation comes when we're tired. His greatest invitation comes when we're tired and weary to fight it all. Have you ever been in the place where you're just too beat to fight a battle? We go through it. We go through it, Christians. We're going to go through it. Sometimes we just don't even know how to fight the battle, and he's there for us. Watch this. Matthew 11:28 says to me, it says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not hard to serve God. I find it very needy to serve God. I'm married. We must serve God. And for you, maybe it'd be other struggles. I got a great marriage. I do. I have a great wife. She puts up with me. And I kid around, so I owe her apologies. I apologize for kidding around so much. But you do need me. You need me. Amen? But you know what? We're going to have struggles sometimes. And in our marriage, we have struggles. In relationships, you're going to have struggle. And even people in church, we're going to have struggle. We need Jesus Christ. See, because he breaks the yoke. He gives us a new yoke. He yokes up with us and takes all the way. That takes me back to the shepherds. Let me talk about the shepherds for a few minutes here. See, shepherds are the most, for the most part, are alone. Just them and those few sheep. David was a man of God because he spent a lot of time alone with God. You remember, David was a shepherd. He was out with those few sheep. And for some of us, we're never alone, but we are. For some of us, we have people around us all the time. And you can have people, 1,000 or 100. You can work in an office building with 500 people in there and find yourself very lonely. Anyone? Can we be alone sometimes? Can we feel all alone? Well, know this, that the Lord says, I never leave you nor forsake you. And for some of us, we need to get alone. Sometimes it's better. David found himself alone with God and it filled these shepherds all alone. Why? Why the shepherds? Why these people of no significance be found? Amen? We can be around people all the time and be so lonely. The enemy wants you to think that you're all alone and not worthy to be loved. But you are. You are loved. That's the real reason for Christmas. Not that baby to be born, but a Savior that would grow up and die for our sins because he so loves us so much. It wasn't about a baby Jesus. It wasn't about the manger. It was about the invitation. Christmas is not about a baby in the manger or a baby being born. It's about a life lived and died for our sins. You got to see something here. The greatest presence is Jesus Christ. He is our gift of salvation and eternal life. He was born, right? And they seen him as a baby, but the miracle is not the virgin birth. The miracle is that in all my sins, I can be saved. See, the shepherds would never leave their sheep and go off. But that's what they did to spend time with him. Some of us think, I don't have time for God. I don't have time to serve God. But you do. Some of the most important things in your life aren't that important. And if they are that important to you, your sheep will be taken care of. See, the shepherds left knowing that God's angels would take care of everything else. And some of us in our time of being alone, some of us in our prayer closet, we need to get away from all the things that we need to do. We need to separate ourselves. And people will understand when you call and say, hey, I need you here right now. I said, I am spending time with God. I will get back to you. Because God wants to spend some time with you. God wants to spend time with you. I reminded somebody this week, I said, the prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Something going on in your family, you pray to God. God wants to hear from you. Come on. Their sheep were okay and taken care of by angels. And your sheep will be taken care of, whatever your sheep is. That's the greatest gift we can give him, spending time in prayer. Today you want to give the Lord a gift? Pray. Get alone with God. He's wanting to spend some time with you. Today we've been invited here. You have been invited here by the Lord. And maybe today you can receive the greatest gift ever, redemption from your sins. Have you done that? Have you said, Lord, I need you to wash me of my sins. I need to be in that place that I want eternal life. That gift that Pastor speaks about today, I want that gift. All of us have to do it. I have to do it. I still have to do it every time I make a mistake. I have to say, Lord, forgive me and wash me of that sin. But today, this morning, I'm going to open these altars. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to ask you, if there's something that you just want to, or maybe to spend time with God, I want you to come today. He wants to be alone. Girls, can you put some music on for me, please? Girls, thank you. I'm going to open these altars up right now. I'm going to ask you, if you never asked, let's stand this morning. Come on.